This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Saddam Hussein and seven close associates go on trial tomorrow for crimes against humanity. They are charged in the deaths of more than 140 residents of the town of Dujail. The killings came after someone tried to kill Saddam when he visited the town in 1982. The proceedings in a heavily fortified courthouse in Baghdad are the first in what could be more than a dozen trials. Each covers a separate alleged atrocity. NPR's Anne Garrels begins her report with one eyewitness.
38-year-old Ali Abbas Hussein al-Hasaraji recalls the hot July day 23 years ago when Saddam Hussein visited Dujail as clearly as if it were yesterday.
Our teachers were ordered to release us from class so that we could welcome his convoy.
Dujail is a predominantly Shiite town, and Saddam was not popular there. He just launched a war against his Shiite neighbor Iran and had cracked down on members of the banned Shiite Dawa Party, which had local support. Then 15, Ali Abbas was one of the boys running alongside the leader's Mercedes as Saddam stopped in various parts of town. As the convoy raced ahead through the dense palm grove, Ali heard gunshots.
When the shots rang out, I thought it was the usual celebration. But then the shooting kept on going as Saddam's people returned fire.
Members of the outlawed Dawa party, including one of Ali's uncles, had attacked the convoy. What would be terrible revenge on the people of Dujail began immediately. Helicopters strafed the area, killing farmers. The secret police arrived to begin meeting out a prolonged and cold-blooded retribution. Tanks threw a ring around the town. A curfew was ordered. The arrests widened over the next few days to include anyone rumored to be opposed to the regime. The uncle who had been involved in the plot escaped, but the rest of the family would not be spared. When Ali returned home one day, the family's house was empty. His elderly grandparents, three aunts, and two young cousins, along with more than 1,000 others, were sent to an internment camp in the south. Two uncles were sent to Abu Ghraib prison, from which they never emerged.
It was only after the U.S. invasion that we learned they had been executed. Anyone who dared ask about Dujail risked being killed. We even denied we had uncles. We were terrified.
For those left behind, bulldozers came to uproot the groves that belonged to the suspects' families. Ali's grandfather's four lush orchards were destroyed. To this day, the palm groves where the shooting took place are desert. Dujail became a cursed town.
Those who survived prison or detention were destroyed. They were thrown into the worst places for military service, into the front lines against Iran.
The punishment wrought on Dujail is just a tiny proportion of Saddam's alleged crimes. What makes this town special is that the prosecution is convinced it can link Saddam personally to the mass murder there. When he was brought briefly before the special tribunal a year ago, the long-bearded Saddam accused the new government of being a puppet of the U.S. That is likely to be the strategy of his legal team. It's also expected to argue he has immunity under the law and that they have been denied sufficient time and access to witnesses to prepare a defense. Critics here and abroad have cited political pressure to hasten the trial, raising concerns about the fairness and competence of the court. And with just a day left, the prosecution and the tribunal are still struggling over key issues including witness protection, security for court officials, and how and whether to broadcast the proceedings. There's the risk that Saddam could use a televised platform to inspire the largely Sunni insurgency and deepen Iraq's ethnic and sectarian rifts. Ali was recently stopped in a bus in the Sunni town of Tamini. Gunmen dragged everyone out, looking for people from Dujail. He miraculously survived. Asked if the trial is worth the continued dangers, Ali nodded, saying, "We want justice." But justice may yet be a while off. After reading the charges, the five judges are likely to declare a recess as the court considers defense motions and other technicalities. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.